Psalm 119. Any Christian who is halfway right with God, as they read the book of Acts, which we have just finished a study through the book of Acts, but as they read the book of Acts and as they see the mighty power of God that was seen in those days, there ought to be within us a stirring and a burning and a desire for such power. Now, I'm not talking about the superficial power that many are looking for today. Many today are like King Herod. You remember in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 8, the Bible says that when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad because he had heard many things of him and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. In other words, Herod had merely an idle curiosity that he wanted to see something spectacular, he wanted to see something amazing, but he didn't want anything that was going to change his life. And there are many people who are like that today, and that's not what I'm talking about when I talk about a desire for God's power. I'm not talking about a mere curiosity that wants to see some sign, some miracle, some amazing thing that will make us feel something. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of power of God that results in multitudes being saved. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the power of God that causes lives to be changed for the better. The majority of people who look at the book of Acts, they focus on Acts chapter 2, the speaking in tongues. They focus on other passages that deal with great miracles, but they totally forget about the results of those miraculous things. For example, in Acts chapter 2, where they were speaking in tongues, but the Bible says in verse 41 of that chapter, they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's what we ought to be desiring. Not the signs, not the miracles, not the manifestations of power, but the true changing of lives. That's what we're talking about, and that's what we ought to desire. But that leads us to ask a question, and the question is this: what was the secret to that power? For example, in Acts chapter 2, what was the secret to that power that was manifested on the day of Pentecost? And I think the answer is found back in Acts chapter 1. The secret to the power in Acts chapter 2 is found back in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, where the Bible says, "These all." And of course, that's talking about the followers of Jesus Christ. And it says, these all continued with one accord. That does not mean they were all in a Honda. Okay? Just wanted to clear that up. But they were all with one accord, notice it, in prayer and supplication. You see, the secret to the spiritual power that we see manifested on the day of Pentecost, the secret to that spiritual power was actually discovered in the prayer closet before the day of Pentecost ever came. The secret to that spiritual fire, spiritual power, was found in the place of prayer. And it is because of that that someone has well said, and I'm sure you've heard this, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Right? It is prayer that brings us into the place where that we can have God's power in our life. And that was a truth that David had learned. And that's a truth that David is going to share with us from his own personal life in this 19th stanza that we're going to be looking at this morning. In this 19th stanza, David is going to show us five things about his prayer life. He's going to show us five things about his prayer life that resulted in the mighty power of God being upon his life. Five things about his prayer life that resulted in God's power. First of all, notice number one, he cried unto the Lord. He cried unto the Lord. And there are two key points that we see concerning David's prayer to the Lord. Two things that we see about his prayer to God. Notice first of all, how he prayed. Letter A, how he prayed. And there are two things that we see concerning how David prayed. First of all, when we consider how David prayed, we notice first of all, his sincerity. His sincerity in the prayer. In verse number 145, we see that little phrase that we have seen several times as we've come through this psalm together. But notice what he said. He said, I cried with my whole heart. I cried with my whole heart. In other words, David's prayers were not merely words that were spoken in a sort of repetitious way. Have you ever stopped to think about how much our praying is done without ever even thinking? Have you ever listened to yourself pray? Many times we wouldn't talk to other people the way we talk to God. And many times we just get into a repetitious mode, and we can actually pray a whole prayer. From our Heavenly Father to in Jesus' name I pray. We can pray the whole thing and never even think about what we're saying. Because there's no heart in the prayer. No heart in the prayer. It's all coming from our mind. It's something we've heard, something we've learned, something we've read, and we just rattle it off to the Lord, never even thinking about what we're saying. David prayed with his whole heart. He prayed with his whole heart. Now, we may fool men with pious-sounding prayers, but the truth of the matter is we never fool God. Because you see, he doesn't just listen to the words that come out of our mouth. He looks at the heart. He examines the heart. And so David said he prayed with the whole heart. And so David here is revealing for us that his prayers were not just a motion that he went through. It was not just a religious exercise, but there was a sense of absolute sincerity in his prayer. It was not just talking to God, it was from his heart. Communicating with God, and because of the sincerity of the prayer, David then could confidently say in the last part of verse number 145, hear me, O Lord. I've prayed with my whole heart. I'm not just playing a game here, Lord. I'm speaking to you from my deepest emotions, and Lord, hear me. Hear me. Sincerity of it. Not only as we consider how he prayed, do we see his sincerity. Number two, we also see his commitment. His commitment. When we consider how Jesus prayed, I want you to notice that not only was his prayer from the whole heart, but his prayer was linked with a commitment to God. In verse 145, here's what he said. He said, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. Now here's the commitment. I will keep thy statutes. I will keep thy statutes. I want you to notice, David's commitment was made before the answer was received. The commitment was made before the answer was received. Many times we want to make deals with God. We want to make a deal with God. We want to make a bargain with God. And many times we come to God with the attitude that seems to say, God, if you will give me this, and if you will do this, and if you will answer my prayer in this particular way, then God, here's what I'm going to do for you. And Lord, if you'll answer this prayer, I'll be faithful in church for at least 1 week. Lord, if you'll answer this prayer, I'll be faithful to serve you and to witness for you. And Lord, I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll do this. Lord, if you'll just answer this prayer. And we want to make a deal, and the deal is simply, God, you do what I want you to do, and then I'll do what you want me to do. But God doesn't play that game. God doesn't play that game. I want you to notice that David asked that God would hear him. He prayed with the whole heart, the sincerity of his prayer. He prayed with the whole heart. But then I want you to notice that before the answer ever came, he makes a commitment. I will. I will. I will keep thy statutes. David simply asked that God would hear him, and no matter what the answer might be, whether the answer was yes, whether the answer was no, or whether the answer was wait a while. By the way, let me just remind you, God always answers our prayer. Many times people say, well, you know, I prayed. God didn't answer my prayer. No, what that means is I prayed and God didn't give me what I wanted. So we say God didn't answer. No, God did answer. He said no. That's an answer too, you know. Right? Yeah, that's an answer too. Or sometimes God says, wait a while. God says, well, yeah, that's a good thing you're asking for, but this is not the time. I'll give it to you later. Wait a while. Kind of like when our boys were growing up. I think they were barely 14 years old and they were already talking about wanting a car. Guess what my answer was? Wait a while. Now they're 20 plus. Guess what my answer is? Wait a while. But God always answers our prayer. But David's statement was, God, here's my prayer. I'm praying with my whole heart. And Lord, no matter what the answer is, I will. See? I will. I will keep thy statutes. And so David prayed. He prayed in sincerity. He prayed from a heart that was fully committed to doing God's will, regardless of God's answers to his prayer. David was fully committed to doing God's will. Now I want you to notice the second thing, letter B. I want you to notice what he prayed. Letter A, we saw how he prayed. Now I want us to notice what it was that he prayed. What did David pray? Verse number 146, David said this, I cried unto thee, save me. I cried unto thee, save me. Now, please understand here that this is not a reference to the sinner's prayer. David is not praying here and asking God for salvation. David was already a saved man. He was already a saved man. So he's not praying here the sinner's prayer, asking for God's salvation in that regard. Rather, this was the same prayer that we might say the Apostle Peter prayed. It was the same prayer the Apostle Peter prayed. You remember when Peter and the apostles were in the little boat and they were going across the sea, and all of a sudden there on the Sea of Galilee there was this huge storm that came up. And you remember as they were battling the storm and actually in fear that they might sink. All of a sudden they saw a figure walking on the water coming toward them. And immediately they were all convinced, this is the death angel. We're all going to die. This is the end right here. And you remember Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he immediately calmed their fear and he said, don't be afraid. Fear not, it's I. Don't be afraid. And so Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, then let me come to you walking on water. Man, isn't that a crazy thing to ask for? I'd say, Lord, send a boat over here and then I'll come see you. But he said, let me come to you walking on the water. And so the Lord said, okay, Peter, come on. Now, a lot of people find fault with Peter for sinking. I think it's a miracle he got out of the boat. But Peter climbed out of the boat. You know the story, very familiar Bible story. Climbs out of the boat and he begins literally walking. He's walking on the water, going to where Jesus was. The Bible says that as he was walking toward the Lord, though, he got sidetracked. He got distracted. By the way, Pastor Moore speaking tonight on distractions, or this afternoon. But he got distracted. And instead of keeping his focus on the Lord Jesus, all of a sudden he started looking at those storm clouds that were building up, and he started looking at the lightning that was flashing, and he started looking at those waves that were rolling in, and he began looking at all of the circumstances that were around him. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 30 that when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. In other words, when he began focusing on the circumstances instead of focusing on the Savior, it affected his faith. See, when he climbed out of the boat, he was full of faith. But when he started focusing on the circumstances, faith died. And it was replaced with doubt. And immediately, he began to sink. He began to sink. And so he cried out. One of the shortest prayers, and I'm sure probably one of the most fervent prayers that Peter ever prayed. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. That is exactly the same kind of prayer that David is bringing here in our text. That's the same kind of prayer David is praying when he said, I cried unto thee, verse 146, I cried unto thee, save me. That's the same prayer Peter prayed. Same prayer that Peter prayed. In other words, David understood how easy it is for men to get sidetracked. He understood how easy it is for men to get distracted. He knew that all men are prone to turn their eyes away from the Lord and to begin to focus on the circumstances of life that are surrounding them. He understood how men are prone to focus on things that will cause their faith to waver and to begin to die. And so David's prayer was that he might be saved from that. That he might be saved from those things. You see, any time our focus is wrong, we will be affected in our faith and we will begin to sink spiritually. We will begin to sink. And that was the very thing David wanted to be saved from. It's the very thing he wanted to be saved from. But this was not a selfishly motivated request. It was not a selfishly motivated request. Notice it in verse 146. He said, save me and I shall keep thy testimonies. In other words, David's desire was not his own comfort. David's desire was not having God to satisfy his every desire. Rather, David's desire was that God might be honored and glorified in his life as he walked in obedience to the Word of God. God, save me from distractions. Save me from those things that would distract me so that I cannot follow your Word as I should. Save me from those things. And so we see, first of all, Number one, we see how that David then cried unto God. Cried unto God. There's a second thing about David's prayer life we find in this stanza, and that is this. Not only did he cry unto God, I want you to notice number two, he sought after God. He sought after God. I've heard Christians sometimes debate. They sometimes debate about whether having your quiet time in the morning or having your quiet time in the evening before you go to bed. I've heard people debate about which one's better. I've heard people debate about that. I think David had the best idea. And the reason why I think David had the best idea is because he did both. He had a quiet time in the morning. He had one in the evening too. He did both. Notice first of all, letter A, David's morning activity. His morning activity. In verse 147, he said, "I prevented the dawning of the morning." Now that doesn't mean he stopped the sun from coming up. Although there are some mornings I wish I had the power to do that. Have you ever just wanted to sleep in? You know, boy, the bed just feels so comfortable, and you just say, "Man, well, I could stay here till lunchtime." And have you ever noticed how normally the bed is never as comfortable as it is on Sunday morning? Have you noticed that? Oh, your bed too, huh? Yeah, mine's the same way. And so, but David, when he says here, "I prevented," that's an old English word. It simply means that David was up before the sun was. David was up before the sun was. In other words, David got up early in the morning, and I want you to notice a couple of things. Number one, he prayed. He prayed. In verse 147, he said, "I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried." That shows the fervency of his prayer. The fervency of it. He cried. This is the very same thing that we saw David speaking of some months ago. No, actually it's been years ago now. Back in Psalm 5. In Psalm 5, verse number 3, David said this. He said, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee." In the morning, David said. In the morning, for the sun comes up, I have an appointment with God. And I'm going to meet with Him. And the purpose of it is that I might cry out to Him. That I might direct my prayer to Him. And David began each day seeking God's face. David began each day seeking God's wisdom, seeking God's blessing, seeking God's direction, seeking God's power. By the way, you need those things. You need God's blessings and God's power and God's wisdom and God's direction. You need those things before you go out into the workplace, not after you come home. You need those things before you go out there to face an ungodly, wicked world. So David said early in the morning, "Early in the morning I'm going to meet with God." And not only did he pray, but I want you to notice that early in the morning, he also, number two, he prepared. He prepared. Verse number 147, he said at the last couple of words there, I hoped in thy word. When did he do that? Early in the morning. Early in the morning. David met with God to pray, and he met with God to build his hope, to build his faith in the Word of God. In other words, David prepared for the coming of every new day by feeding himself on the precious Word of God. David prepared himself for every new day by looking into God's Word and learning the things that he needed for that particular day. By the way, David did that because he had learned some things about God's Word. He had learned some things about God's Word. You remember back in verse, and in fact in this very chapter, Psalm 119, in this very chapter, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, David had learned that this Word of God will keep him from sin. This Word of God will, it'll keep him from sin. In verse number 92, this Word of God will encourage him in his Christian walk, in his daily walk with God. In verse number 98, 99, and 100, he had learned that this Word of God will give him wisdom that he needs to make the right choices in his life. He had learned that this Word of God, verse 105, will direct his steps. It will direct his way. And so therefore, because David understood the benefits of God's Word, David had a desire every morning that he would rise up while it was still early. He would rise up and he would spend some time in prayer to God and in meditation on the Word of God. That was his morning. That was his morning activity. Not a bad idea for us either. Not a bad idea for us either. Morning activity. But then notice David also had letter B. We see David's evening activity. His evening activity. Verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches. Now we're in the nighttime. Now we're in the evening time, and notice how David spends the evening. He says, mine eyes prevent the night watches. In other words, before I go to bed, I watch the late movie. And then we watch the late movie and then wonder why we have nightmares. Some of that stuff scares you to death. But anyway, that's not what he did. That's not what he did. He said, mine eyes prevent the night watches. Notice it. That I might meditate on thy word. At the end of each day, before he went to bed, David once again turned his attention to the Word of God. Meditating on those wonderful principles, on those wonderful precepts of God's Word that would give him confidence and assurance as he closed his eyes for the night to sleep. The morning activity, the evening activity of David. Notice letter number three. Notice number three. Not only do we see those two things, but number three, we also see that David, he trusted in God. He trusted in God. In verse 149, hear my voice. According unto thy loving kindness, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. Two times in this verse, if you'll notice it, two times in this one verse we find the word according. According. And these two uses of that word according reveals to us the depth of trust. The depth of trust that David had in the Lord God. Notice first of all we see that he trusted God's character. He trusted God's character. Verse 149, hear me, here's the first time, hear me according, there's the first use, hear me according unto thy loving kindness. You see, David fully understood that he had no right to expect, he had no right to demand anything from God. He had no right to it. He had no right to it. David understood that if God did anything for him, if God did anything for him, it would not be because David deserved it. David understood that if God did anything for him, it would be because of God's loving kindness. Truth of the matter is, we don't deserve anything from God except for one thing. And that's an eternity in hell. That's what we deserve. The blessings that we have today do not come because of who we are or what we have done. It's all because of God's loving kindness. David understood the character of God. But not only do we see that he trusted in God's character, I want you to notice letter B, he trusted in God's judgment. He trusted in God's judgment. Verse 149, O Lord, quicken me, that is, make me to live. Now here's the second use of the word. Make me to live, quicken me according to thy judgment. According to thy judgment. The idea is simply this. We're to bring our request to God. The Bible teaches that. Cast all your cares on Him, the Scripture says. Cast all your cares on Him. We're to bring our request to God. We're to bring our request to Him. But we are to leave the final decision to Him. In other words, we don't come to God and command Him to do this and this and this and this. Rather, we bring our request and then we leave the decision. We leave the decision to Him. And the reason we do that is simply because of the fact God's judgment is always right. In other words, God's judgment always knows what is best for us. God's judgment always knows exactly what we need, and He always knows exactly when we need it. And so David trusted in God's character. He trusted in God's judgment. But here's the point. If we're going to have power with God, then we have to learn to trust God no matter what the circumstances in our life may be. We need to trust in God completely. Number four, he sided with God. He sided with God. According to the Encarta Encyclopedia, almost one third of a shark's brain, I'm talking about the shark that swims in the sea, you know, great white, that kind of thing. Almost one third of a shark's brain is devoted to the sense of smell. Almost one third of his brain is devoted to the sense of smell. Therefore, the shark is well known as being able to find prey by what? By sensing blood in the water. By sensing blood in the water. The shark's sense of smell is so powerful that they can detect one part of blood to a million parts of salt water. Now that's a pretty fine-tuned smelling instrument. To be able to detect such a minute amount of blood, one part to a million, he's able to sense it. What that means, folks, if you go in the ocean and you're bleeding, they will find you. they'll sniff you right out. So the shark is able to do that, but you know, we need to realize that there are spiritual sharks as well. There are spiritual sharks. There are those who are able to detect. There are those who are able to sense when we have been wounded. When we've been wounded by the trials. When we've been wounded by the testings that come into our life. And they do not come to devour us. Rather, they come to pull us away from God. They sense that we've been wounded. And they come to pull us away. To pull us away from God. David was well acquainted. David was well acquainted with those spiritual sharks. But David had determined that when he was hurt, when he was injured, when he was suffering under the trials and the afflictions that came into his life, David had determined that he would not allow those sharks to influence him. Rather, he would maintain his loyalty to the Lord God and his commitment to the Word of God. Notice two things that we see here that David is going to mention. First of all, letter A, David's understanding of the wicked. David's understanding of the wicked. And there are a couple of things that we see here. First of all, his understanding concerning their nature. Concerning their nature. Verse number 150. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. Oh, there's the nature of those wicked men. They are mischievous men. They are men who follow after mischievously affecting other people in their relationship with God. David understood their nature. He understood their nature. And the reason why this was true, the reason why they were mischievous men seeking to pull people away from God is seen in the fact that David also understood some things concerning their position. Verse 150, they are far from thy law. They're far from thy law. The reason why these wicked sharks, these wicked men, want to go after those who are spiritually wounded and pull them away from God is because they themselves are far away from God and far away from the law of God. David understood. David had an understanding of the wicked, but David also, we see, had an understanding of the Lord. He had an understanding of the Lord. Verse 151, Thou art near, O Lord. Thou art near. Have you ever been a time when you felt like you were going through a time of difficulty and you felt like God was a million miles away? Have you ever felt that way? It's okay, you can say yes. Yeah, we all have. Yeah, we all have. There's been times when we were going through a time of difficulty and it seemed like God was a million miles away. But you know what? That was just what it seemed like. That's just what it seems like. Truth of the matter is, David had it right. When we're going through a time of difficulty and we're being attacked and people are trying to pull us away from God, the reality is, even though it may seem like God is a million miles away, He's near. He's near. Thou art near, O Lord. And all Thy commandments are truth. You see, when the wicked begin to attack you, when you're going through a time of trial, when you're going through a time of testing, and these wicked men begin to try to influence you and pull you away from God, one of the first things they will do is try to cause you to begin to doubt what God has said in His Word. But David was convinced. God is near. And God's Word is truth. It's truth. And David was able to do this because, number five, he believed in God. He believed in God. As David wrote this psalm, it's my personal thinking. I might be wrong. I don't think I am, but I might be. But it's my personal thinking that when David wrote this Psalm 119, he was an old man already. Maybe even older than Pastor Moore, I don't know. But he was an old man already. He was old already. And as he looks back over his life, he's a lot of these things he is writing that in this psalm, he's writing from personal experiences. These are things he has learned as he has walked the road of life. And as he writes, he looks back over his life And I think there's two things that came to his mind. Two things that came to his mind. First of all, his learning. His learning. Verse 152, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old. Now, this is why I believe David was an old man. In other words, what David is saying here is, you know what? I can look back over the years all the way back to my youth. I have learned of old. I've learned from a long time ago. I have learned some things about God's Word. I've observed some things about God's Word. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old, and so he's learned some things, but then notice letter B, his confidence that is stated. Verse 152, concerning thy testimonies, and then the last part of the verse, thou hast founded them forever. When I was young, David said, when I was young, I learned that God's Word is dependable. I can trust it. It's dependable. And David said, when I reached middle age, I learned that God's Word is still dependable. And now David says, I'm an old man. And even as an old man, I have learned that what I learned as a youth from a long time ago, God's Word hasn't changed. The dependability, the truth of God's Word hasn't changed. Times may change and circumstances may change and other things may change, but the Word of God, God has founded it forever. It never changes. Never changes. The kind of prayer that results in God's power is simply the prayer that refuses to question, it refuses to doubt the promises of God. That's the kind of prayer. That's the kind of prayer that results in God's power. If we're going to have God's blessings on our life, if we're going to have God's power in our life, if we're going to have the kind of blessing, the kind of power of God in our life that allows us to be instruments that God uses to work in the hearts and the lives of others and to see them changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we're going to have to have a prayer that reflects these five things that David has mentioned here in our text. And may each one of these become a reality in our life, that we might have power, with God to do the work that God has called for each one of us to do as His representatives, as His ambassadors in this world in which we live. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning.